Questions for you tonight. What are you waiting for this Christmas? Are you longing for anything? What are you expecting to receive? Are you looking forward to anything special this Christmas season? I've told you this story before, so I have to apologize in advance if you've already heard it, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. I remember one time when I was a kid. I must have been about 7 or 8 years old. And our neighbors got all of us kids, there were four of us, got us all Christmas presents. And of course, they brought them over several weeks early. And they sat under our Christmas tree and they tempted all of us. And it just so happened that two of the presents, one had my name, one had my brother's name, were in these little packages about the size of a small penknife. And we knew for sure that that must have been what was inside. Now, I'm not sure exactly whose idea it was, but I'm guessing it was my brother's because he was usually the mastermind to any mischief that happened at my house. He was the one that was in charge. But we decided that we would open these gifts to confirm our suspicion that these were actually penknives. We waited until my mom was gone. We carefully cut the tape, opened them up, examined these knives, and we put them back inside the box and put them back under the tree. Well, to make a long story short, we got caught. Moms know everything, you know how it goes, and we got caught. Our punishment was that we weren't going to be able to open our Christmas gifts that year until noon. We had to get up. You know how you get up really early anyway, and we're up and we're tortured by these Christmas presents that are just waiting for us, and we couldn't open them till noon. Well, I think we pestered my mom long enough that she finally decided to let us go ahead and open them up early. But the point I was trying to make is, well, you talk about how waiting for something just really tortures you. And this process of waiting that year was really something that stands out in my mind. Could you imagine opening up all of your Christmas presents except for one? You look at it and you examine the package. And you say, this really looks like something that I'm needing, that I'm wanting, that I was asking for. And you take this present and you just put it back under the tree. You say, I think I'll just leave this one. Could you imagine doing that? You say, I'll just open that another time. It's not going anywhere. There are a million and one reasons why I don't want to open that gift right now. Would you do that? Probably not. I wouldn't, I know. And I assume all of you wouldn't. So why is it that we hesitate to open the greatest gift that was ever given? If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And I want you to see that present that for some is still waiting under the tree. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Here's what it says. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, and she was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. That child was sent by God. In fact, he was God in human form. And he came to this earth, and he lived a sinless life, and he died a horrible death as a gift to us. Maybe you're asking, how exactly is that a gift? Well, I'm glad you asked that tonight, because the Bible says that every single one of us have sinned. We have done things that are against God's command, and that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for that sin is death. But Jesus, this gift from God, he died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But he didn't stop there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, having conquered death. The Bible teaches that he did this so you and I could be saved from eternal separation from God. And I want you to know that tonight, if you haven't done so, you can open that gift. You can begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're saying, well, how? See, the Bible says that if you believe what I just told you about the gift, if you believe that with all of your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. You can leave here tonight and know without question that you're heaven bound. You'll have the opportunity here in just a second. But there's one more group that God has a message for tonight. See, there are some of you here tonight, you've opened that gift, but you haven't begun to use it. I mean, I want you to think about it like this for a second. Here you are, and you don't have a car. And it's a huge hassle. You have to walk to work. You have to walk to the grocery store. Everywhere you go, you have to walk. Then someone decides to buy you a car. They buy you this car, and they just give it to you. You accept it. You put it in your garage. Then 2 weeks later, you run into that person, and they say, "How do you like that new car that I bought for you?" And you say, "Well, I haven't driven it yet. Maybe I'll drive it when I get a little older. Maybe once I have kids, I'll take that car out of the garage." Nobody's going to do that with a new car. But for some reason, we don't hesitate to do that with Christ. We bring Him into our lives and we put Him in a corner so that we can use Him when we're ready. I want to tell you tonight that Christ will change your life if you'll follow Him. Tonight, maybe that gift is still under the tree. Maybe it's in the garage, waiting to be used when the time is more convenient for you. I want you to know that God's calling out to you. What will you do with the greatest gift ever given? What will you do? Think about that for a second. Will you all stand with me? As you stand, I just ask that just for a minute, you bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to talk to you for just a second. Maybe today you're here and you're ready to receive that gift and be part of the family of God. If that's the case, I want you to know that He loves you and He died for you. And in just a minute, this altar is going to be open for you to pray and to make that life-changing decision to begin a relationship with Christ. Maybe God has touched your heart in some way and you realize that there are changes that need to be made in your life. So many times, people won't respond to God's call because so-and-so hurt their feelings years ago. Or they saw this person or the pastor doing this or doing something they shouldn't. And they are supposed to be a Christian. How could they behave like that? Well, if that's your thought tonight, I want to give you a piece of advice. Jesus was the only perfect person who ever walked this earth. All the rest of us are sinful. Don't let sinful people determine your eternal destiny. You won't have to answer for them, only for you. I don't know where God's leading you tonight, but you know, and so does He. Let's pray. Father, we stand before You as always, humble. We're humbled yet again at the thought that You cared enough to send Your Son for us so we could spend eternity with You and not separated from You. We stand before You not deserving anything but death, and You love us anyway. Father, I ask that You would inspire and convict this group here tonight to walk away having opened Your gift to us. And not only that, but ready to act as You lead. We ask for Your will to be done tonight and Your will only, Lord. If there are changes that need to be made here tonight, I ask that You and You alone would inspire those changes. Father, this time of invitation is Yours to use as You see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, if God's calling you tonight, don't wait. I would love to pray with you. If there are changes that you need to make, if you want to begin that relationship with Christ, tonight's the night. Maybe God's just laid something on your heart tonight that you need to pray about. And I want you to know that this altar is open for you to do exactly that.